We're back. You're listening to Money Talks. Figured I'd come in with a little bit of Smooth Criminal. I'm not really calling the IRS bad names, but hey, you know what? Like I said, they always want their cut.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, no doubt. It's Troy Harmon here on Money Talks with DJ Barker and none other than Jarrett McKenzie, our
glad
friend,
you held back there.
Our friend from the sticks.
Alden County representation.
All right, guys. So we got a situation we wanted to talk about this week. And basically, it centers around tax loss selling, but really it's about the market decline and the fact that it actually presents an opportunity.
Right.
When we talk about investing, you know, there's the tax man at the end of the game is always standing with his hand out. He's going to get paid whether anyone else does or not. And, you know, you can soothe your mental state by saying, well, he only takes a portion. He's not going to get it all.
Right.
So, you know, whatever gains you made, a large portion of them are yours. But nobody likes the fact that having an uninvited guest at their party, right? But in reality, the market decline does present an opportunity. And when we think about this, we're actually – it's a planning issue where we consider – the fact that there's more to planning than just the investing side. There are ways that we can lower tax dollars, even in years when we actually make pretty good gains.
Yeah. Yeah, it's extremely relevant right now, too. I mean, if you think about going back to the last segment when we were talking about the information technology sector and how much it's grown, chances are your portfolio, if you've not already rebalanced, is pretty far out of line in that regard because it's grown so much, right? And so if you've got a target for that sector or companies within that sector, I would imagine that those companies are overweight or that sector is overweight at this point. And so, you know, taxes aside, you need to keep your portfolio in line if you wanted to perform as you were hoping to when you put that investment strategy in place. And so if you have rebalanced, which you should be, given, you know, how much run-up we've seen in that sector in particular, that's probably going to cause you some capital gains given the way the past couple of years has gone. I mean, most people are going to have quite a few gains, and that's been some that's created some reluctance on the part of our clients just because
sure,
you know,
and our clients
so
sell it. Yeah, our clients are no different. They're human beings like everybody else.
Exactly.
I mean, you look at these things, and who wants to lose money? Nobody.
Right. But you know what? The market's run up so much, I'm finally able to convince more and more of these folks to start trimming and rebalancing their portfolio. And what's happening when we do that? Well, you're taking these gains, and so they're starting out a year when typically we might avoid it during the beginning of the year because of this newfound volatility in the market. It's created a bit of a sense of urgency to go ahead and start rebalancing and getting things back in line. And so we've got a number of clients who already have a good bit of capital gains for the year. That being the case, we already have this insight as to, okay, how much do we need to tax loss harvest if there are opportunities to do so? What's going to make sense and make it worthwhile given what we know already instead of looking back over the course of the entire year when maybe I would say in the past it's been more common that we would tax loss harvest. We're really looking at this as an opportunity to offset some of these gains that maybe you've taken already as a result of the rebalance in your portfolio. And it's just great timing to do so because now you're going to have what's left. I mean, we've got maybe 7 months left in the year that we can still take advantage of given fluctuations in the market. And so, you know, given that there's not been a lot of fundamental change, I think you would agree a lot of this volatility's been created by news, right?
Well, news, and I think valuation actually has led into it. And when the market was expensive as it was at the end of January, it was real easy to convince yourself, as you're saying, Jarrett, it's real easy to convince yourself, hey, you know what, let me take a little off the table. I know we've got these huge gains. But when the prices get a little bit crazy, it's easy enough to say, and we've been preaching it too. I mean, rebalance, 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 and I still say it's time to rebalance if you haven't done so already.
Well, it's created that sense of urgency, like I've said, when the markets are just rising, 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 and that's all we're seeing for you know, those weeks and weeks where it was just up, 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 up. It's like nobody's wanting to sell anything at that point because they feel like they're giving things up. But when the market's swinging, you know, the Dow anyways, 400, 500, 600, 700 points a day, it's like, okay, maybe this is a good time, at least an uncomfortable time where I'd like to go ahead and start taking that and have more of a willingness to do so.
Yeah, and I, you know, we probably ought to talk about operationally how this all goes. You know, Jarrett and DJ, when somebody is selling for tax losses, do they sell the whole position? I mean, if you've got a position in that beaten down consumer staples sector, you might have five or six different tax lots, meaning that you've bought it at multiple different times along the way, and some of your tax lots have gains while others have losses. And it, you know, if you look at it at a more granular level, it gives you ways that you can still take losses, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of having to dive in all at once.
Yeah, and you know, I need to check with one of our CPAs, and we'll talk about this more when we come back, but I don't know if you can specify the lots anymore that you want to sell. That may have been a change with the new tax law. So we'll check on that and get back to you guys on that piece.
All right. So when we last left, we were talking about taxes and how to manage taxes through tax loss harvesting. Let me throw out a way that you can contact us if you have questions about this or really any other financial concept. We'd love to answer them on the air. You can call us and get a real person at 770-429-9166. You can call our question hotline, wherein you can leave a message. We'll play it back on the air and answer the question that you have right behind it. That would be 1-855-429-9166. And you can email us at drgene@hensler.com. That's D-R-G-E-N-E at H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.com. Or you could go to our website, hensler.com, and find probably lots of questions to your more generic questions, answers to your more generic questions, easy for me to say. I guess my tongue got tied when I was trying to make fun of Jarrett, but maybe all that's in the past, and we'll just move on from here, right?
Carl, quick.
It's quick. Yeah, he's quick. Yeah. Anyway, again, let's back up and cover that concept. Yeah. So you don't have to sell out a whole position. So you could still be exposed in the manner that you wish. Although after 30, 31 days, you want to make sure you don't get in that tax wash.
Right, wash over, yeah, 31 days.
Issue, so you stay away from whatever position you sold for that long. But mm-hmm. let's back up and talk again about it. I mean, you over the course of multiple years, if you had a stock that was recommended in your portfolio, one that you wanted to hold, you bought multiple times, maybe you had dividends build up and, you know, it got a little bit behind, you purchase it to shore up, you had a deposit in your account, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. And we're all talking about brokerage accounts, right? These taxable accounts that we're dealing with.
Yeah, tax loss harvesting won't do you any good in an IRA.
No, it's not going to work there.
Any ideas.
Yeah, but, you know, in the end, and I think sometimes that's a good thing to say because, you know, most people are investing through an IRA, I would think.
True.
Which, I mean, tax loss harvesting, there's no reason to deal with it mm-hmm. in an IRA. You just rebalance and move on.
Right.
Jarrett, you want to flesh it out? How does this actually work?
Yeah, I mean,
work?
Kind of just going back to what we said, you know, in the previous segment to end it, the bill, the new tax law, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, at first did have a provision in there in which you could not specify certain lots to be sold for a loss if, as Troy was mentioning, you've got different lots that you purchased over time for whatever reason. But fortunately for us all, that provision did not make it into the final bill, and so you can still specify the lots in which you'd like to sell. And in doing so, you don't have to exit the entire position, but you also cannot buy back that position and still recognize any loss that you take when you do so within 31 days, as DJ mentioned. And so what that allows you to do is take that loss maybe against some of these gains from the rebalance earlier in the year, as we talked about earlier, and offset some of that so that your tax liability for the year is lower. And you know, frankly, throughout the year, especially within the past couple of years, there's not been a whole lot of opportunity to do this because the market has been up, up, up. And that's really why we're saying that some of this volatility with there being sudden losses all of a sudden, particularly with people that are putting new money to work in the market and maybe have made a large deposit recently and have experienced some true losses as a result of that and are not just dialing back some of those gains from investments they've held in the portfolio for a while, it's really going to give you an opportunity to harvest some of those losses so that you can take that benefit or use it as a benefit while still having the intention of buying that position back, assuming it's still a viable investment and you'd want to do so at least 31 days later. So,
yeah, we do that for our clients. You know, I think it's important. You don't wait for third or fourth quarter. I mean, we look at this all year.
Sure.
If there's an opportunity, anytime. Yeah, if we may love the stock, but if it's an opportunity to sell it, you know, realize that loss for taxable reasons. We want to do that, and we want to look at that often, not just, okay, here it is, November, let's look at losses now that the year is almost over.
No doubt. And, you know, when we're in the middle of this conversation, it occurs to me that, you know, there's been a real big push to passive investing. And basically what that means is instead of owning individual pieces, individual stocks within a bigger index, you just only hold in index through an ETF. Now, think about what's happened in 2017. We had a stock market that was up 21.8%. If you bought it the first of 2017, market, you know, went up 7% more in January of this year. And then we started hitting some of that volatility. Well, guess what? If you only bought them one time, you don't have any opportunity for selling for tax losses. But if you had individual securities and you were investing all along, the way this generally works, you're going to have bigger opportunities to manage your tax situation that you wouldn't have if all you have is a single security, which is an ETF, an S&P 500 ETF, or, you know, various others. There's a lot of indices out there that folks use in their portfolios, which brings me to another point. When we talk about that, we're talking about different asset classes, and that's kind of an allocation decision. So you put your monies in various asset classes you are said to have allocated your portfolio. When we're talking about the difference between a rebalance and a reallocation, DJ, you want to throw that out, just how exactly that works?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you want to do is, you know, a lot of times, obviously, it's the question of tax loss. The second thing is, why would you want to sell something, you know, that's, you know, IT, because it's up 30%. Why would you want to sell it when it's done so well to buy something that's down 5%, 6%, 7%, whatever it may be? Because, quite frankly, it's not always going to be up 32%, and it's not always going to be down 7%.
Right.
You know, it's important to take note and to strategically move your position, you know, at those opportune times.
Yeah.
Yeah, we certainly don't want the performance, the good performance of a sector to drive whether or not, you know, we are willing to sell something. And that's why we have target weightings, right?
Right.
Like we talked about earlier. I mean, and that's really the reason why you rebalance, because presumably, you've got a position that you want to try and keep the portfolio in, a tolerance, if you will.
Right.
And as things happen in the market, this is why we help our clients with the review of their employer-sponsored retirement accounts as well, because oftentimes what will happen is we're implementing a strategy on the accounts that we're managing for them here, and you know something else is happening with the employer-sponsored account, and it's going off in a different direction, and then things don't line up, and you know it's very important to keep things in line, which again is why we rebalance, and is probably what has caused some of these taxes we're trying to offset now, and that's really the reason behind having the show about this today, is because you shouldn't see this volatility as much of a negative thing as much as you should an opportunity, in my opinion, because, you know, as I've been saying to a lot of clients, we are not seeing the fundamental changes. Granted, there have been some things, as you said, Troy, the flattening of the yield curve. And,
sure. Yeah, we watch those closely.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as the unemployment rate goes and CPI and what the Fed's doing, these are all things that still remain relatively healthy and in line.
Yeah.
Earnings certainly don't seem to be having, you know, or having been largely affected by anything that's going on. So the volatility is more or less being created by a lot of the news in the market. And, you know, you might as well take advantage of it instead of worrying about it and really take some of these losses if you've got some to take and try to offset any gains that maybe you've taken already because of the rebalancing you've done so far this year.
Yeah, some of the analysts in the market I'm reading these days are talking about how, you know, we haven't even seen the first quarter of earnings after we've seen a huge change in our tax loss.
Mm-hmm.
They're still telling us that you better brace yourself. We're about to be hit with an earnings season that could be bigger than we've seen in a long time. This is on the heels of the fourth quarter, which gave us 14.5% earnings growth in that one quarter. You know, we're still looking at a market that's showing us that we're probably, it's indicating, these are expectations, obviously, not reality yet, but 29% earnings growth in 2018.
Wow.
Can you imagine what that's going to look like?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's cooked in right now, but to me, there's plenty to support growth. There's plenty of reasons to believe that we will have some follow-on that's going to be really solid, you know, coming into the rest of 2018.
So, great news.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's take a real quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.